so ratty, further from so ratty, so ratty. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
16.
Now it's time.
Good year for you.
And now it's time for Homegrown. Your show dedicated to local art here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And now it's time for your hosts, David Von Strawn and Clinton Johnston. Here's David.
Hello! Charlottesville! It is Sunday. It is 10:02. We are one. We are late. Imagine that. From two black folks. This is Homegrown. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Divas One, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Nefarious Ruckers, a.k.a. Black Frodo. Walking through this lonely Mordor of pain and suffering. trying to put this power back
trying,
to the right hands.
Trying to put this power back. Well, I'm just sitting next to you wondering
pushing harder and faster towards a better and newer Charlottesville. I usually say with me as always is the lovely, loquacious, lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones, but she's not here.
She ain't here.
I'm on her mic. Leslie.
It's a nice mic. She's got the good mic.
I miss you. I'm talking to you, baby.
Oh, jeez. I just dropped. Oh, okay. See, this is what happens. When Leslie doesn't operate the camera, it's just like chaos ensues. Chaos ensues. And you're stuck with me. And you're stuck with that dude. He's on the boards. The producer of Homegrown. The thing. The guy that makes this thing happen on a regular basis. My man, Clinton freaking Johnston. How you doing, Clinton?
What's up, David?
I'm well. I'm happy to see you.
Are you?
I am. I am. I truly am. I'm happy to see you.
It is a joy to have you here. We have to fly.
We have to fly?
So many mornings solo, or at least so many mornings without you, because, you know, you got that day job.
Yeah, I got the day job. I got
that takes you away from us.
I got the day job. I got the theater job. I got the organizing job. I got the homegrown job. I got 13 jobs, man. Never stop working.
I was going to try not to go there, but you just...
I could be the LeVar Ball, too, of
undefeated, never stop.
Sorry. Horse is like, can we get to me, please?
That's fine.
Horse is like,
hey, I'm enjoying
Horse is
the
like,
show.
I don't... What is going on with you guys?
I'm enjoying
really
the show.
Is that actually...
Yeah. It's on... Oh, you know why? It's reverse it. It's reverse it.
Why are you reversing?
I didn't mean to. Can you see you, Horace?
I can see me.
All right. That's what's up.
All right.
Not to be weird or anything. We got Horace Scruggs up in the house. He's the adjunct instructor of choral music at Piedmont Virginia Community College. He's also putting on a view from the train, decoding the stories and music of the Underground Railroad at the V. Earl Dickinson Building at PVCC on January 20th. Horace, thank you so much.
Glad to be
coming
here.
On to the
Thank
show.
You. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. I apologize. Usually we goof off. We get a little sick.
Oh, yeah.
Me especially.
Him especially.
Yeah. I am the one person on this art show that knows very little to nothing about art.
That's not true. That is not true.
Yeah, I know. I know some things like Romeo and Juliet, Hamlet, the big ones. Phantom of the Opera. But I don't have the deep library and dramaturginess of my man Clinton over here. So I'm at a loss for words sometimes. But I do know about black folk.
Okay.
And it seems like you are that black. You were striking a well, I knew that. It didn't take no genius to figure that out. Though you can go to Cuba and be like, You could save some money. That's all I'm saying. You know, you can. Either way. Anyway,
make sure to check the website for the annotations to David's jokes.
For all comments on Cuban American insensitivity, please write homegrown947@gmail.com. Stories and music.
Yeah, yeah.
The Underground Railroad. I don't think we have to ask why. why the importance of it and why it needs to be shown. But I want to ask you why you personally felt inclined to put on this show. Yeah. And
let's back it up. Well, tell us about the show.
The show's an original show. The show's is something that you've written around the music of the Underground
I think this
Railroad.
Is our fifth year at PVCC.
Okay.
So the first year we did Odyssey of the Soul, Odyssey of Soul, and that was basically talking about the different elements of what makes music soul music, how, you know, different elements of music makes it American, African-American music.
Right on.
Okay, you've destroyed me. You've destroyed me right now because and I need to talk. I have so wanted to talk to someone who can sit down and definitively tell me what soul music is. We need to.
Well, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
We're actually doing that show in Waynesboro, but we'll talk about that. Yeah.
Well, so, then we'll come back. Then you'll come back onto the show.
We'll come back.
And then we'll talk about that.
There you go.
So we've done the Odyssey of Soul. We've done the History of Gospel.
And that's gonna be a killer
show. And then last year we did Love, Peace, and Soldiers. Talking about defiant music of the civil rights movement.
Right on.
So this year we're doing a different type of civil rights movement, which I consider the Underground Railroad really was.
Mm-hmm.
It was an act of defiance, you know, against the system that was in place of slavery. And so with that, music came out of that. And when we think about, the music that was part of those so connected and intertwined with the Underground Railroad. Because I think about it, it was there because most African Americans, most enslaved community was illiterate. Mm-hmm. There was no way of writing all this down. Mm-hmm. There was no way of writing the maps down, writing who you go see. So a lot of that was encoded in the music.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about music of the Underground Railroad, are we talking about songs sung during by people during their passage, or sung about the Underground Railroad beforehand? What were
mostly we're talking about songs that were encoded with clues of where to go.
See, that's funny because all the slaveholders thought they were just like singing songs in terms of like songs. Escapism and you know, just trying to get through the day. Whereas we got a cheat code for y'all. We're up down down left right left right. We'll see you in Chicago. So I think that's how it works.
I think that's the kill move.
And which just shows the complete idiocy of white supremacy.
That's the kill move.
In this form. Exactly.
Finish him. That's not the cheat.
Harunka! Steal rock from him.
So basically it's more about, and I think there is some, as you use the term escapism, I think there's definitely part of music, of course, that allows us to kind of mitigate the pain, so to speak. Music is that in any society.
Mm-hmm.
Music, works to kind of make whatever we're doing a little bit lighter, simply living or working hard.
Yeah.
Either two, we're still using music to kind of enhance our lives.
Yeah.
But I think this point in time, music was definitely used as a tool to do that, as well as point the way, remind us how to go.
Yeah.
And still spirituals. And so we're talking about the spirituals. We're talking about the African American spirituals.
Yeah. Right.
Which is considered to be, in my mind, and considered to be the first truly American art form.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
It was not African, nor was it European.
No.
It is truly
Yeah. Nobody shipped a harpsichord over to write this song.
It's
from the earth.
It's from the earth.
And it's an interesting thing because frequently people will talk about African American art, or maybe not frequently, whenever. People will talk about African American art as if it's something separate from American art.
Right.
But I think that there's a really strong argument to be made to say that you don't have American art without African American art. Then when you go back to the moment when people when America was looking for things to distinguish itself artistically from Europe, specifically from England, a little bit from France, that it wasn't until they started reaching out to the very marginalized communities that they had, that's what made them unique, African Americans, Native Americans.
Sure.
And once they started hitting those, that's when you actually get American art.
Right. And we understand that because these two cultures colliding on this continent as the enslaved population of Africans and and European. You know, it was, there was a lot of exchange going on. You know, as people want to be, as people think, as separatism or being separate, as we think, well, we wouldn't want to believe that they were, but they were not. I mean, these cultures were intertwining and culturally, you know, musically, food. I mean, all of those things that make up culture, religion to a certain degree, was all of those things were being exchanged. And so when we talk about America and music, yeah, you can't take out either one. You can't take out the European or you can't take out the African. Mm-hmm. But the blending of those two is what makes it real.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
How did you come to this? Do you have a background in ethnomusicology?
Well, good.
I love it.
And by the way, actually. And by the way, well, I asked really. That question just so that I could say the word ethnomusicology. It's just one of my favorite. Ever since I first heard that, I had a friend in college. I had a friend in college who said, "I want to grow up to be an ethnomusicologist." I'm like, "You want to what?"
And that thing.
Like, I want to work that word into every sentence.
Right. I would have been like, "Me too." How do you? Sign me up.
Well, it's funny. I have a music degree from Longwood University, music education, and then I went to got my master's at Shenandoah. And part of my studies at Shenandoah. There you go. I did studying the African American voice, why it does sound differently, what makes a gospel choir sound different from, you know, a traditional Western art music.
Oh, fascinating.
So that was part of the study. And then, you know, as I kind of joke these days, I was raised black. so I grew up singing spirituals. I have 8 sisters. Yeah. And we all sang. My daddy was a Baptist minister. My
8?
Mom. 8.
That had, to filter through for a moment.
Was that a delay?
That was a delay.
So we sang, you know, as again, my dad was a Baptist minister. My mom was a preacher's wife. And so we all sang and natural harmony. And so what I found was people aren't doing that anymore. You know, spirituals are something that has become performance art. And definitely on the show on, you know, this coming weekend, we'll be performing spirituals. Mm-hmm. But I try to shoot for that authentic, earthy, kind of real. It's not, yes, I compose and kind of arrange the parts, but definitely there's a sense of, you know, this is how it is sung. This is how it was sung. So I'm drawing a lot from my own just growing up, you know, as singers.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing it with a band and a choir?
Yeah.
Or what?
Well, it's actually a band. So we have myself and E.C. Anderson, who's a student, a former student of mine from Fluvanna County High School. His wife, Nadia Manifold, or Nadia Anderson, Sarah Holding, and then Becky Ward is singer. And then I have one of my sisters is actually singing with me.
All right.
So we have 6 singers, and then we have
with
on
8 sisters. I think it's going to be hard for you to not have a sister singer.
That's right. The odds are pretty high, right? And then we have on
one of y'all can make it. Come on! That's I got a show here.
She drew the short stick. So that's short straw.
All right, 6 o'clock. All right, whatever.
But she's been singing with us, and then on bass we have bass and drums. We have the father and son team. We have Brad Callahan and Chris Callahan playing with us, and they're you know very good. So a lot of these are Fluvanna people. My sister lives in Richmond, but everybody else lives in Fluvanna. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of me doing a lecture, talking about some of the things we just talked about the Underground Railroad, African American experience, and then we do music to kind of support what I'm talking about. So it's really good.
Yeah. So we're going to talk more about this. I want to get more into like the whole, like all of your like works as a collection as a whole.
Okay, sure.
And like ask more about that. And definitely talking about black folks, because we black folks. This is Homegrown. Drop! All right, 16 minutes past the hour if you're just tuning in. This is an awesome Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlotte's
progressive voice of Charlotte's.
I had some bad gas in my carburetor, so that's why
I was going to echo you. I was going to try to echo you, sort of a harmony, but then I just had to follow where you went.
No. You tried to save me, and I appreciate that, and I totally gave myself away. Oh my God, David Von Strong in the house. Clinton on the boards. He's my host now since Leslie's gone. Horace Scruggs is in the house. He teaches music at PVCC. He's also director and creator, brainchild of A View from the Train, decoding the stories and music of the Underground Railroad. And we are about to play a song from that joint called I Need the Lord. Horace, talk about that. You want to play first? Yeah, you do it. I'm going to talk about it. This is I Need the Lord.
I need the Lord to guide me.
The Lord for that song. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. You need that on Sunday. That's Sunday inspiration right there.
That's right.
Talk about it.
So that's a song that I used to sing with my sisters, you know, growing up. And so what I did was I kind of remembered the harmonies, the three parts, each part that's being sung, and wrote it out. And I've had my high school choir sing it. And so it's part of we've used it in several of our shows. Because so you were asking the question, how do the harmonies
how does harmony become such an essential part? And I think that's fair to say, or at least an essential part of early African American music. Because isn't harmony
that's right. So that's the European element. So a lot of what comes from Europe is the harmony and form. Mm-hmm. Structure, verse, chorus, harmony, meaning root, third, fifth, hello. Yeah, that's that kind of stuff. So what comes from Africa is the rhythm. It's the tone color or the sound, the richness and the kind of the spontaneity.
But African American harmony doesn't sound like European harmony.
You know about that. You know that that mostly African based blues are in pentatonics, which are in fifths and sevenths and fourths, and not 2-3-5 like minor and major chords.
Right.
It doesn't have the two. It doesn't have the. Now we're going to get into music. This is the music part of the program. But major chords are 7 and 8s and 2 and 3. No. 4 and 5 and 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. And minor are 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Something like that? 4, 5, and 6.
Major chords are 1, 3, 5, 1, 4, 5, sorry.
Yeah.
1, 4, 5, and then the minor chords are 2, 3, 6.
Yeah, so it's heavily structured, and there's a lot of, like, half steps, and it's more like a
chronological. So European, when you think about, chromatic.
Chromatic
so,
skill.
Right. So when you think about European music, it's very structured. Mm-hmm. And the thing, the difference is, and this is one of those the things that I think that's so fascinating about the two cultures, is European, or what we call Western art music, is for formality. It's for show. You know, if you were a king or a queen or even in the church at that time, you know, you displayed, music was a display of wealth.
It was in a concert
hall. You had an orchestra.
Hall.
You had a concert
it was a,
hall.
It was a spectacle.
If you were having
you
people over.
All nice.
Just like, you know, in the day you would... when you think about it, it was several years ago. I don't know if people do this anymore, but you know, people would have who had the loudest car system, sound system in their car.
Right.
You know, it's the same idea back in Europe.
Of course,
in Europe, who had, you know, what king had the biggest orchestra?
That's so funny.
A lot of the major composers we think about, Mozart and Haydn, were court composers. That's what they did.
Thou dost not have rims as large as mine. And yea, they do spin. Yea, verily. Spin away. Sorry.
Dang, that's awesome. That's a play right there. I have a good friend, David Small.
He does not thump as loud as me.
Have you been to Prince Ludwig's? He does have a quartet that's really bumping.
But African music is much more earthy. Like you were just talking about, your grandmother or your mother used to sing in the kitchen while she was making food. And so for the African tradition, it's day to day. It's in the field. It's in the, you know, sitting around, you know, whatever, the table at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd sing.
Yeah.
It was just every day.
Yeah.
And so those two things come together in the spiritual. So you hear those... those Western art harmonies, but at the same time, you hear the spontaneity of the moment.
Right.
And so that's why the spirituals are just so... that's why I think they touch so many people, you know, both African-American and European-American or white or black. It touches so many people because it's drawing from both of those cultures.
Right. I reflect back to the... like, I spent a lot of time in New York, so I reflect back to the Subway bucket drummer.
Okay, yeah.
You know how they just have, like, this one device that's, like, a makeshift, like, drum and, like, sticks that they found, but, like, don't really... you don't have the drum set, you don't have everything, like, hooked up. Oh, my God, this is a microphone. We're in a... we're doing a radio show. But, like, he's still making music, and he's doing the hell out of it, and he's rocking that bucket. So it's like, you make something out of nothing with the tools that you have, with the education that you have,
that's
with what you've seen, but with your natural, like, adaptation to the craft... and just what you feel inside.
Right.
So
and we understand that the whole when we talk about soul music and soul food and you know, all of that, the whole African American culture is improvised.
And it's from the remnants of European culture. It's
my dad used to
from the hand me downs. Yeah.
And it was like, what? Well, you ate the whole pig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the feet and the brains.
Hooves,
and so
ear.
All of it's that like, stuff was just a leftover. This is leftover. So
just
a lot of
hot
African
sauce
American
on
culture
it.
Is
no,
just
that's disgusting.
Leftover.
So
that's a song from, that's kind of an older, well, closer to more gospel music, but you can definitely hear the spiritual elements in it.
Is that one of the ones that it has coded information in it?
That would probably not have been, it's too new to be part of the Underground Railroad, but what we use that song is to show that how those themes, elements, are still used. There's a song by Boyz II Men a couple of years ago, I Will Get There, you know, and it talks about... cross that river, you know, nothing can stop me now. It's like, cross the river, you know, what's so big about crossing a river? Well, that was a big deal.
At some point, you will see a river.
That's right.
You will have to cross
that river, you know, and so crossing that river was crossing that river to
MapQuest,
freedom.
That's MapQuest, 1865, that's what it is. You know, see the big rocket gone too far.
But those things
you need
are
to
still,
turn around.
Still in every
redirecting.
Song.
You have missed your friend.
There's a show in there somewhere. Somebody's
Underground Railroad map quest.
Underground.
You have missed your freedom. Turn around.
That's good. That's rich.
There's heavy dogs on the corner. You might not want to go over there.
So yeah, so we use those. That's just a good example of how the words that sense, and I think even in today, you know,
and even
African
in the words
has,
like you were saying, because even the words, I need the Lord every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That is, and then it talks about when you're traveling, life's railway, all alone, mm-hmm. you know, and you feel you have the one to call your own. It's just that kind of sense of that part of that African American story is always moving forward, always. Trying to find something better.
Resiliency.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're exactly right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, a complacent society is like, you know, that's when people fall apart. Mm-hmm. When you just can't see the way out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Sure, no problem.
I want to go to the song because I want to ask questions of modern parallels that you see between then and now, if any.
Sure.
But I do want to get to the song. Do you want to talk about the next song?
The next song is We Shall Overcome. Just that's more of a civil rights song.
I was gonna say,
yeah, but again,
kind of like a low key one, kind of one of those ones that people rarely heard about.
Yeah, that's a big one. So, but what again is those modern, like you're just saying, modern parallels that even you know, even in that was during the civil rights movement, but there's still that sense of overcoming,
yeah,
you know. So, we put that part of the show as well as just a fun one to do.
Let's do it.
Yeah, you can play a little bit.
We shall overcome. Babyface is like, how did he do this?
So
how did he get all this down?
My understanding of this song is that it gets to the civil rights movement through Pete Seeger.
It was part of the folk rock elements during the 1960s, and it becomes an anthem. And it's the beautiful part of it. And I was just listening to it as we were listening to it. It's like we shall overcome someday, and it doesn't tell you what you're going to overcome. It doesn't tell you when you're going to overcome, but it just says once someday. So that's why songs like that and that kind of that same idea of the Underground Railroad is you're always struggling. Mm-hmm. The struggle is always somebody's struggling somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, as Martin Luther King says, if one person is enslaved, then we are all enslaved.
Yeah.
Mm.
So injustice anywhere is
that's
injustice
right.
everywhere.
So we're always working for, you know, a sense of freedom, a sense of purpose. So I think those are the kind of the songs that are, you know, just always continue to be.
And hope.
Yep.
You know, for a better tomorrow and for, you know, our children to do the same things that we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. Right. And I hope I get to see this show on January 20th at the Vero Dickinson Building at PVCC. And, how do I get in the class?
How do you get in the class?
I was going to say, you got classes next semester? I'll try to jump in on that.
Yeah, I teach a music appreciation class.
Okay.
And, of course, I conduct the PVCC course as well.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right.
So those are great ways to learn about music. And even though the music appreciation is the appreciation of all types of music.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, getting back to our
Well, I'm looking for good people to learn music appreciation from, so.
There you go.
Thank you very much, bro.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you for having me. Oh, shout out to your man's over here. Who's this guy? Is that your beer PA?
Small, good friend.
We got you on camera now, so if you're in the witness protection program, you're screwed.
He's going to be writing that Elizabethan rap you were doing there.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
He was doing that for us.
I need royalties for that, though, so I'm going to hit you up later. All right. Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
We going right into it?
Let's go right into it.
All right.
It.
Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week currently through January 19th. Is Drawn to Charlottesville, a group show of 12 local artists. Get it? Because of transplants. Drawn to Charlottesville. Being shown at Second Street Gallery. And also through January 16th is the Klugeroo Aboriginal Art Collection presents an off-site exhibition, Defending the Ocean, 21 works by contemporary indigenous artists celebrating the central importance of the ocean to human life at the Charles L. Brown Science and Engineering Library in UVA's Clark Hall. January 16th through February 27th, Tuesdays from 6 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. Join instructor Jane Friedman for Social Media Lab for Writers, : crafting a strategy and a presence that fits you in your writing career. It says fist you in your writing career. And that is completely
That's a completely different instructor altogether.
Offered by the Charlottesville Writer House, but meeting at Indoor Biotechnologies January 16th through March 8th, Tuesdays from 1 to 3:30. Join instructor Kristen Rimbold as she looks at pattern and form in poetry at the Charlottesville Writer House. January 17th, Vermont choreographer Crystal Brown comes to town with members of her In Spirit dance company for a movement masterclass at the Paramount Theater before their Muhammad Ali inspired piece, The Opulence of Integrity. How about that title?
You're going to do a piece about Muhammad Ali. You have to have titles like
the
that.
The Opulence of Integrity.
You can't just call it the Boxer Dance.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. You can't just call it just Ali. Well, that's been taken too. Performed at the Paramount on Thursday, January 19th. Third Friday's improv workshop at PVCC at the V.O. Dickinson Building. Popular, busy building. January 20th, tour to Paramount Theater and learn its history at 11. That's new. Mm-hmm. Also, Annie Up Comedy.
Annie Up!
Host Battle Edition with former guests Chris Allen and Winston Hodges at the Ante Room.
Hey, boys.
Also, on January 20th, what up, Chris? De La Sue offers a West Coast swing dance lesson, followed by a come all dance at the Ivy Creek United Methodist Church Social Hall. And for your music options this week,
hand it over.
All right, fine.
Hand it over. Today, get a jump on Mardi Gras. The Jazz Rascals play Dixieland in New Orleans jazz style for brunch at Fellini's at noon. Also today, the Ragged Mountain String Band at the Batesville Market at 1 p.m. King Golden Banshee at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub at 5:30 p.m. Tonight, Bill Edmonds plays guitar at Fellini's at 6 p.m. And tomorrow, ATM Unit with Jonah Kane West going at Rapture. January 16th, Bob Huntington and then Travis Elliott doing double duty at Fellini's. On January 17th, LG and Friends at the Whiskey Jar. Accordion master Maddie Metcalf puts down the squeeze box.
Puts it down!
And hits the piano at Fellini's. On January 18th to January 21st, the Shenandoah Valley Governor's School presents the musical Lucky Stiff by Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty at Shenandoah Arts Theater. January 18th, the Currys at the Whiskey Jar. Michael Ellswick Gathering at Fellini's. On the 19th, Oliveris Trino at the Trio at the Rockfish Valley Community Center Lounge. Also on the 19th, Eli Cook and Band at Dirty Nellies.
What?
The infamous String Dusters at the Jefferson Theater.
God, that's with that string.
And on the 19th, Get Your Go-Go On with the 100 Proof Band.
What?
At the Ante Room. Our friends Mojo Pie over at Wild Wolf and Bob Bennett at Fellini's. On January 20th, it's Shag Wolf! Former guests at Southern Cafe Music Hall, Choose Your Own Adventure at the Whiskey Jar, and Rusty Spidell and Friends at the Batesville Market. Every Friday morning, of course, is the West African Drum Circle at the Front Porch Roots Music School.
Mm-hmm.
Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School.
Jam!
Also got Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of the Old Time Music, Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church.
Seafoot!
Every Monday, it's the Songwriter Night at the local. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Also, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Salas at the Bebedero.
Love it.
Every Wednesday.
What?
Open mic night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery.
Boom!
Open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub hosted by Josh Mayo.
Boom!
Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9.
Boom!
Bachata Fusion at the Anteroom presented by the Charlottesville Salsa Club.
Boom!
DG and Friends at the Bebedero.
Boom!
And the Mike Krasinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
What a Wednesday!
Ooh, every Thursday, Lua at the Bebedero. And every Thursday,
John Durst!
With the John Durst Quintet at Miller's. Check them out and don't scream and don't pout, because that's what it is all about.
Oh, yeah.
This is Zap McConnell from Chicken Bank Collective, and I am with Homegrown.
That was energy.
That's what we did.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Moving on.
Moving on. Now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 37 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, this is Homegrown on 94.7 WPVZ, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Clinton. Woo. Leslie's doing something else, apparently much more important than hosting this show.
I'm saying.
Jeez. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. His guests are chefs from the Boar's Head Inn, the Bavarian Chef, and Red Pump Kitchen for Restaurant Week. Talking about taking your calls on any and all food-related issues.
Any.
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 Any. So my ear kind of looks like a cauliflower back here. Like, is that
what
normal?
What is the proper temperature at which to boil a gourd?
Or a human being, for that matter. I don't know. About 150 pounds.
I'm calling from the Spanish Inquisition.
About 5'9". Hello?
If
hello?
I want to boil flesh in oil.
Oh, we are sick individuals and we need help. But with us is Brian Wimmer. He's the admin of Magic and Wonder, if I'm reading that correctly, at Ix Park. At Ix Art Park. I'm just wondering what that office looks like. Just fairies carrying files and putting them in the cabinets.
An imaginary office.
Yeah. It doesn't exist.
Good morning.
How's it going?
What's up,
excellent. It's another day of possibility. That's a good way to look at it.
This is true.
And that's magic for me. It's possibility and the impossible. What's impossible? I don't think anything. What's impossible?
So, 2018.
Yeah.
How was 2017 at the Ix Art Park?
2017 was great. We did all sorts of, we had something like 92 bands. We had like 6 plays. We had, I don't know, lots of fundraisers. We had the Women's March. We had, I don't know, it was a crazy year. And we're going to do more of that. And who knows what else. I think actually your intro kind of spelled it out right. I think that this 2018 is year of magic.
Mm.
And magic is whatever you want it to be. Magic is whatever's improbable. Magic could be. I've been saying that my role this year is Wizard of Ix, and and that could be making some real magic, or else just hiding behind a curtain and pulling some levers. Probably more of the latter, but it's whatever you want it to be. I mean, a lot of what Ix right now is about perception.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a concrete pad with some concrete walls, but we added some murals and possibility to it, and all of a sudden, anything is possible. Actually, this past week, we started a winter's farmer's market, and that's going to be running through March 31st.
Mm. I saw a mention about that online.
And, yeah. You know, that we've been working on for quite some time, but, you know, get some winter vegetables, keep providing a place for the farmers to provide their produce, and get good fresh stuff for the people in Charlottesville. And that's another piece of cultural possibility that I want to keep going. So, hey, the magic. Well, hey, stuff growing out. People used to think stuff growing out of the ground. And how does that happen? How does the sun come up? That was all magic. That was all, like, let's get some wonderment back in our life. And, you know, who knows? Art, to me, is a little bit of magic and improbability.
So when the people of Ix Art Park were sitting around the the imaginary board table at the Magic and Wonder think tank, if you will, were there any, like, goals that were set for, like, 2018 in terms of Ix Art Park and what they hope to feature and hope to like put on in the near future any certain avenues that they're specifically looking at.
A lot of our mission and goal has been about multiculturalism. So as much as we can promote and keep that going, actually I have a conversation coming up this week about the Salsa Club potentially moving there. Don't know yet. It's the ante room is going to be changing up because of the ice rink, and where is going to be the new home. I think the ante room is going to relocate, but in the interim, what happens? And I would love to bring more dance, and especially salsa. Bring the Latino community down. Bring, you know, like everybody. Because that space to me is a space that should be this intersection.
Because that leads me to a question that I had was, do you have an idea or any type of understanding of who is it who's coming to the art park?
It depends upon the venue. And to me, when we have a women's march, it's a, you know, predominantly women. We have Civil Sabroso. It's the Latino community and whoever else wants to participate. When we do the Nine Pillars thing, it's, you know, more of the African-American community. But to me, the more diversity that we can get there, that's the solution that I want to see. That's what where people intersect. Actually, we had a crazy thing last year. We had Mighty Joshua came and played, and that was awesome. I always love getting reggae down there. That brings a great diverse crowd. But also, it was the same day that OmegaCon was happening. So you had cosplayers and reggae. And it was this like unlikely combination, but probably some groups that don't necessarily always overlap. So I like the happenstance of what happens when you run into somebody that you don't usually run into, and what are the connections and networks that come out of that, and what is the legacy of that?
Well, when I always see a white person in dreadlocks, I always think they're contributing cosplay.
You think that's right?
I always think that's based on some like Yu-Gi-Oh character or something like that. It's like,
but what, the notion what about what we're doing coming up. So we keep true to this mission notion. Hopefully, within, I mean, we've got no budget, we've got no staff, we've got no whatever. So that's the great improbability of what you can do with that. So it's a lot about what people in the community want to do. So people approaching me, and I'm just a person who says yes to everything and is an open invitation to all possibilities. So bring it to me, and that's what happens. And to me, sometimes it's great, and we get a great big turnout. Sometimes it's a very small turnout. And to me, whoever shows up, it's whatever that moment is. And that's when we look forward to our goals. Sometimes it's sort of incremental thinking, okay, where are we building to is the wrong measure. And I think the wrong almost cultural paradigm to look at any institution that's got to grow, it's got to build, it's got to, because to me, you don't know what's going to happen in a year, whatever. You can look forward to it, but what's most important is right now. What's happening today? What's happening tomorrow? What's happening on this weekend? Like this upcoming weekend, we've got a really kind of cool function. Candy Chang, who was the original artist behind the Our Before I Die wall, which was a stencil that we got from her. She's done dozens of these across the country. She's a New Orleans artist, and she works there.
Well, tell people about the Before I Die wall if they don't know about it.
Okay, so it's essentially a chalk wall that says Before I Die and has a bunch of like lines, and we have chalk out, and people write in what they want to do before they die. And it was the notion of everything that we build at ICS to be participatory. It wasn't just going to be something you look at and you scratch your chin and you move on. It was like, how do we get people to interact with the art? How do you play music? How do you, and the things that people write on this wall just blow me away. And we clean it off every week and new people write like, I want to marry Jenny, or I want to travel the world, or I want to save the whales, or I want to, just like these great hopes and aspirations. And sometimes it's just that little pushed for somebody writing it down that gets them a little bit closer to where they want to be. Or even I had people like say, like, nobody ever asked me that, you know, what do I want to do? So even that, like, how can a empty space be transformed placemaking style into a place that now families come to and students come to and visitors come to, and all of a sudden are challenged, what do you want to do before you die? Who asks you that? An art park does. And that's when some people are, what does an art park do? I don't know. What do you want it to do? So that's my question to the population. So it is a challenging place to say, what are you going to bring to it? And how can you mix? That's what's great with the salsa parties is salsa dancing isn't you just have one partner the whole time. You're changing it up. Actually, last night I saw some of the swing dancers. And that's their thing. They're always mixing it up. Who am I going to dance with now? Could be an old person, young person, you know, all sorts of different types. It just, it doesn't really matter. It's all about this dance that we're doing. And to me, life is a dance. Life should be played. Life should be an art form. farm. So how much can we make it with a farmer's market? And this upcoming thing this weekend, which is actually in conjunction with UVA, they're doing this as a part of their Martin Luther King celebration, as well as the Bridge PAI, who has a thing on Saturday night that is an interactive thing with postcards, I believe. And so we're trying to do this, actually, three-part thing. So there's a thing of the Jefferson School this Friday at 6 to 8 with the artist. And then we're doing a follow-up with her actually at the wall. And then there's an after-party with Vi Bryant, who's going to play. And it's like, okay, well, how do we keep this going? How do we actually interconnect all the arts organizations? Because I think that's a huge thing that the city needs in terms of its identity, is as a cultural place. Because you've got a lot of individual places, galleries, institutions, but they operate pretty individually. And
but
I think
why is that? Why do all the art communities have to coalesce and combine? Isn't that the beauty of the art community here in Charlottesville, is that it is diverse and it's different and you can go to different places and get a different feel?
I don't think that they have to all be simpatico in all of their missions and styles.
No, that's not what I'm mentioning.
Right.
Yeah. I
would love to see them coordinate their efforts so that the public knows how to interact. Because sometimes it's like, well, there's a show here and there's a piece here, but what if, you know, every, say, Fridays after 5, there's a bigger thing. You get, you know, not just the people who, you know, want to go see the art at McGuffey and whatever, to say, oh, there's music too, and there's food, and how far does art and culture spread so that we actually identify ourselves as an art and culture mecca? Because I think we are. Mm-hmm. We have so many venues,
we
have so many festivals, mm-hmm. but do we identify ourselves in Charlottesville as that? I was in Santa Fe recently, and that's what they identify themselves as, and that's why people come there. So why, you know, people come here for Monticello, come here for different reasons. Do they come here because they recognize, and do we recognize? I like to think of Seaville as Seaville. Like, what do you want to see? What do you want to do here? This is a do place. And to me, that's the identity that I want to, and that's an open opportunity identity. That's everybody to show their colors and stripes and everything that you want to do. So, and that's the invitation that I have down at Ix.
Okay. We're going to do a drop. We're going to talk more Ix with Brian Wimmer, throwing that magic and wonder around. This is Homegrown.
I think it's Wimmer.
Is it Wimmer?
Okay. It is Wimmer, but...
We had this discussion the last time you were here, and you were like, whatever.
It's a name, man. You can call me Wizard of Ix. You can call me the Big Clown.
No,
I don't know.
I want to respect you, because I don't want you to be calling me David the whole time. Like, that's... Brian
that
Wimmer.
Was only once.
This
I told you that was only once.
Clinton, I will never forget. This is Homegrown. Drop! 49 minutes past the hour, if you're just tuning in. After a completely inspirational commercial,
I love how no matter what age, there's always just this little bit of square self-righteousness to every PSA, like, but they just can't, as much as they try, they just can't get away from.
Just imagine a person like climbing a rock like during that soundtrack.
I think if somebody did a public services announcement, like somebody must, it's someone in the government must have said, okay, that's really great. It's a little too hip.
Right.
Can we
whiten this up a little?
Can we
just smear a little mayonnaise on this?
Can we just push it a little too far? That's kind of our brand.
Okay. And
anyway.
It's hokey.
Perfect. So we're here
and
with Brian
incomplete.
Wimmer.
Wimmer! Stay tuned afterwards for the Sunday morning wake-up call. Your host is Rick Moore. He's talking about food, chefs from Boar's Head Inn. The Bavarian Chef, and Red Pump Kitchen for Restaurant Week. Any and all food-related issue you want to talk about. You want to make bugs? They're going to tell you how to make bugs.
Making those bugs. That'll happen.
Cooking up bugs.
At what point during, I think it was 2017, was it last year? It's in so much of a blur even now. At one point, wasn't the city in its ever widening search for money in all shapes and forms, looking to reassess the tax level?
The same city that was trying to work on how to spend a $9 million budget surplus, but continue.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that kind of nets out, but yeah, they increased our property taxes by something like 300%. It was an extra $50,000 that the art park pretty much had to bear, and we just had to squallow. I mean, that's half of our annual budget. Mm-hmm. And so it's adding that. And that was something we were already struggling to make, because a lot of the things we do there is 60% of our budget comes from revenues. It comes from rentals. And that's not really where my heart is. I mean, I like weddings and bar mitzvahs and things like that. But as a cultural institution, there's a lot of stuff that we want to do. But if we're always having to chase money and now having to chase more of it, it allows us less to do sort of our social programming, which to me, that's where my heart is. And that's, you know, there are lots of things we can do in our lives, but I've gotten to a place in my life anyway that I can focus on that. And, mm-hmm. you know, how do we create a farmer's market? Or
would you say that the height? I'm sorry to cut you off, Clinton. Would you say that the heightening of the property tax kind of lends itself to and the idea of gentrification in Charlottesville and the widening disparity and how gentrification parallels with the art world and how it affects
completely,
the art world?
Completely. I think that gentrification, and I carry a bit of guilt myself because, you know, we took a space that was pretty much unused for, you know, at least for what we're using it for several years.
Yeah.
And now we've brought a bunch of, I mean, they're white families and whatever, and we are kind of, I'm trying to figure out the way to make it so that it still is an open access place and still addresses the needs of the immediate community. But when the city is a place that can sort of soften the effects of gentrification, and instead, in my opinion, they amplified them. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as you say, because those assessments are based on the highest and best use. Now, according to assessments, that's how much money can be made there. And so a luxury condos or a hotel would be categorized probably as a highest and best use. So then they look at that and they say, well, you could have luxury condos here. So the property they assess as if mm-hmm. right now there are luxury condos there,
mm-hmm.
which to me tells a property owner that the only way you're going to recoup your money on this is to build to that highest and best use. So for me, when people are like, what's it going to be next year? I'm like, I'm surprised that we're still in existence, because we're holding actually down non-development to a certain extent of the space, because that's the beauty of it, is in its undeveloped thing, because that's the way that we can provide. Originally, yeah. we provided studio space for like $150 for like a studio space, which is unheard of. You can't even get that in Waynesboro.
So what do you do to fight that? And I'm talking about, like, what advice would you give to like the person who doesn't have the gigantic space that XR Park. Maybe you have a small, like, maybe it's like Guerrilla Theater
uh-huh.
or like Belmont Arts Collective or something like that. Maybe you have a small space.
Right.
How do you fight that? How do you combat your city and making sure that your space is affordable so that you can put on art for all cultures and all people and all, you know, shapes and sizes, all marginalized people? Like, how do you fight the city in doing that? And do you choose to fight the city?
Well, I think it's a huge question. I think some of it's the vernacular, because I don't necessarily choose to think of it as a fight. If anything, it can be a dance, it can be a whatever, but some of it is how creative folks usually address issues, and that's through creativity.
Redirect, create a conversation.
Yeah, well, it's create a conversation or create an opportunity. And I think that in our city, that these kind of weird pockets have always moved around. It was at Random Row at one point. Now it's at Ix. And it might not always be at Ix. It might move to Harris Street. It might move to Woolen Mills back in some of those warehouses there. It'll usually go where rents are cheapest. And if the city wants to push up rents in this one area that is the SIA, that is that district around Ix, that there might not be an opportunity anymore. But to me, that the creativity finds a place, and it doesn't necessarily fight it back directly. It usually finds some kooky way to kind of go around the back or to create something else. And something else would be creative, or else, to me, it's to find people's imagination. Say, well, what do you want to support, community? Do you want more luxury condos? Do you want more hotels? Or do you want to support cultural creation? And I would say, can you support us in that? And some of it's through donations, some of it's just through being there. Because it's not necessarily a monetary discussion. It's just about participation. And sometimes that just costs showing up.
Yeah. Well, I also think that one goes with the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you ain't got no monetary, you might not be able to
especially in this culture.
Especially in Charlottesville, which has the highest wage gap disparity in the state of Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to talk about gentrification in art, because just as we were talking about talking to Horace, we were with our previous guests. We were talking about music and how music in Europe traditionally was the purview of the rich. Mm-hmm. It was something that the rich could afford, that the rich had, and I think also art in general. Mm-hmm. And I think we keep that tradition with us, that idea that art is something for the upper class. Art is something for people with means.
But I don't think that that's a world norm. I was just in Colombia, and I was in this little district outside of Cartagena, and it was a city square where every single night, circus performers, musicians, everybody just showed up, passed a hat, and that's what you did every single night. There was street food. There was a little corner bodega where you could buy a beer, but that was the cultural norm. Mm. That wasn't for the elite. That was for everybody, and it was accessible. And it addresses the issues of people who don't have means, because that is your social connection. And to me, that's what ICKS can be. Mm. That's what a lot of our spaces can be.
We got 2 minutes left. Cool. Let's have some fun. Speaking of modern means, speaking of things for everybody, if you could put anything to replace the statues, what would it be?
Oh, look at you.
I could put anything to replace the statues.
You're an art person.
I'm open to all possibility.
Come on, Brian. Come on, Brian. Give me something juicy.
I think that the contextualization of the current things is a possibility. I mean, actually, when I say possibility, too, that we have 1,000 different opportunities.
We have all of these artists. Mm-hmm. We have all of these sculptors. We have all of these painters. We have all of these people that can mm-hmm. create art, mm-hmm. that can create something that's multicultural, that's for mm-hmm. New Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about reconceptualization.
I'm saying that's a possibility. I'm saying there's a possibility of doing something completely different. There's a possibility
seconds.
Of making the place into something.
All right.
Give me that, too. Boom, Brian Weimer.
That's all good.
I tried.
That's all good.
Brian Weimer.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Stay tuned next for Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Rick Moore's in the house. We talking about food. Boar's Head Inn, Bavarian Chef, Red Pump Kitchen. All chefs all know what they're doing for Restaurant Week. Food-related issues. How do I bake a squid? This is where you'll... This is Homegrown. We love y'all. Peace out.
This has been Homegrown. Here's about local art. We will catch you on the later. Opening music by Run by anyway. Catch you next time.
CLP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.